Welcome to the Someone Gets Me podcast, where you'll hear stories of inspiration and hope realized. Hosted by Diane Allen, intuitive empowerment mentor, who specializes in working with people who want to be freed from being stuck in life. You will hear personal stories and professional insights, along with tips on how to conquer overthinking, procrastination, and more. Here's Diane.
Hey, everybody, it's Diane, and I am here with episode number 86 of the Someone Gets Me podcast. It's been such a wild ride. I can't believe when I started the podcast that I would ever be so excited as I am now with all the amazing guests and content and feedback from all of you. It's just been so amazing. And this episode, I want to talk about something that's very, very dear to my heart and very close to me. And that is how it is to live as an empath and somebody that has a lot of intuition. And many of you are empaths or know empaths, and many of you also have a lot of intuition. But particularly, I want to focus on the empath part. Now, I'm really excited that the SomeoneGetsMe.com website is live with all of the episodes from the very beginning on there, along with blogs and a services page and a way to contact me directly through that website, SomeoneGetsMe.com. Very easy to remember. It's the name of the podcast. Because this empathy thing is a very important topic. And as an intuitive mentor and somebody who is quite empathic myself, there are so many things to consider. And I was really led to do this particular episode because I recently was working with somebody very intensely over a project that went on for several days, and this person is very, very empathic. And then I've had other people I've worked with recently in different settings. They were also empathic, but there was something that was really profound and common with them. It was one of those things where you wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning with, oh my, this is something I really need to share with my people. And that is the consequences of being an empath, which means you're taking on other people's energy. In fact, some empaths don't even realize it's another person's energy they're taking on. And so then what happens is they think that the anger or the anxiety or the fear is theirs, or even the happiness is theirs, but it's not, it's the other person's. And so being an empath takes a lot of practice and learning what's mine and what is yours. What is my feeling, my experience, and what is it that I'm picking up from you? It's one of the things that makes some intuitives very good, because we can feel other people's things, but you have to be able to discern it. Well, the thing in common that I realized was that all the people I work with and people who I don't work with that I know who are empaths have similar challenges in some of their emotional well-being and some of their spiritual well-being and some of their physical well-being. For example, a lot of empaths struggle with exhaustion and sometimes body aches and pains. There's times when I get very fatigued that my whole body hurts. I just feel uncomfortable in my own skin. In fact, some people I've worked with lately have said that to me, that they're just tired sometimes. Well, often if you look at it, when you're tired, it's because you've been around a lot of people who maybe are taking your energy, or maybe they're angry or fearful, or they have their walls up, and it takes more of your own energy to engage with that group of people or that person, and then you end up tired. I always ask everyone, has there ever been a time when you were in, had plenty of energy, you were great, and then you had a conversation with somebody, or you were in a certain situation, and then you were all of a sudden tired for no reason, or at least you didn't think it was a reason? And if you think about it, your energy kind of drained out of you, if you will, during an interaction or a situation that you let all the energy escape. And empaths do it all the time until they learn better. Empaths also have a lot of anxiety. I have a client of mine who doesn't really have anxiety in the mental illness way, but he gets anxiety at certain times. He starts shaking and things. Well, it's because he can feel the energy of the other people, and he is very, very tuned into his environment. And he hasn't learned that that feeling he's calling anxiety is actually simply an energy shift that has to do with some of the other people around him. So anxiety is another thing that I notice in my people, or they call it that. Sometimes it's actual anxiety. Sometimes it's just an energy change. Another problem that these empaths are having, and I've had it too myself, is trouble thinking clearly. And that is so many things on your head and so many things going on. If the stress level gets to a certain point over a period of time, it will change your memory and you'll remember things in a certain way. And it wasn't exactly that way. Your memory will be correct for the content maybe, but the situation might be a little different. Because high stress levels and high emotion levels are known to change and cause a shift in how we remember things. So empaths are really open to that kind of challenge if you get tired. And another big part that I see is sleep problems. A lot of empaths who have a lot of stress going on or a lot of things on their mind will maybe fall asleep, and then 2 or 3 hours later, they're wide awake. Well, that's often because the brain starts racing again and the cortisol is messed up because of the kidneys and the adrenal glands. And everything in your body affects everything. What you think about and what you don't think about affects your body. So your physical body is neutral, and what you're thinking about and what you're feeling affect everything. So of course you're going to have sleep issues if you go to bed with obsessive thoughts or overthinking or worrying about something. You know, I say worrying means praying for something to go wrong. And so it really is important for all people, but particularly you empaths, to really pay attention to what you're thinking about. So when I saw all these constellation of things that happen that are very common with all the people I work with myself, if I'm not taking care of myself, and all kinds of people, I gave it a name. Because if I have a name, then we can talk about it as a thing, in which case then we can transform any aspects that we desire. And so the name I gave it is empath distress disorder. An empath is somebody who takes on the emotions and feelings and energy of other people, knowingly or unknowingly. Very, very sensitive. It is different than a highly sensitive person who is sensitive but doesn't necessarily take it on. It's its own thing, being an empath. Many empaths are also highly intuitive. And highly intuitive people are also often empaths, though not always. So they have a correlation, but it's not a 100% correlation. And then I call the second part of my name here is empath distress disorder, right? Distress means the stress is disconnecting me from my center, from who I am, from my calm, my peace. It's a message that it's time to take a pause, take a break. And the disorder means my life is not in order, because we want to have our life in order on some level. And when I'm not in order and I'm distressed, most likely if you're an empath, it is because you've been taking on the toxic energy or the overwhelming energy or the constant energy of your environment or the people around you. And in those situations, in those times, if you keep it up, you'll end up getting sick. Some empaths I know end up with getting, you know, colds all the time. Some empaths I know end up getting sinus troubles all the time. A lot of them get sinus troubles all the time because sinuses has a blockage up there and it always shows up, or neck problems or something. And so there's things to do if you have an empath distress disorder. Because your adrenal glands get tired, you know, that's the fight or flight, and they're right on top of your kidneys. And so if your adrenaline is always going through your body and you're always racing and worrying and putting all the stress on yourself, that makes your adrenaline go through your body. It eventually tires out your kidneys, but it also tires out your thyroid gland. So it'll mess up your metabolism. It'll mess up your sleep. It'll mess up your sense of well-being. And over time, it wears the system down. And then pretty soon you're experiencing what some people call burnout. Some people might say, oh, you're too sensitive, you know, just let it roll off your back. Don't pay attention. But that's difficult for an empath because the experience is so different, so much more intense. So there are some things you can do because you don't want to get sick. You don't want to get diagnosed with something like chronic fatigue syndrome or things like that. And you don't want to get paralyzed, basically like stuck in the house all the time, or not wanting to go out and be around people because you're so spent. that's no healthy, happy life to live. So the work I do and to try to help people is so that they're not stuck in the house and they're not stuck getting labeled with all these diagnoses, because truly being an empath is a gift. Being an empath is a huge gift. It's just not always understood. And sometimes when you're really sensitive and you're taking on other people's energy, sometimes you don't even realize that you're acting out their fear or you're acting out their anger, and it's not even yours. You're feeling it and it's coming through you. Or you're feeling it and you're holding on to it and creating more distress and discord in your own body. So there are some things you can do to help you feel better. One is to begin to check and see, where are the energy drains happening? If there's certain people or certain situations where every time you're around them or you're in that situation where you feel tired when you leave, I suggest you have some healthy boundaries. I suggest you begin to get some distance so that you're not always tired and drained. So that means less time with some of those people, or if that means learning some skills to put a wall up so that they can't get your energy or all those kinds of things, then do that. But it's important to not put yourself in positions where you get drained, at least not consistently. You also want to really assess the people in your life, because toxic people, narcissistic people, those people who will take, see you kind of like a gas station. And as long as you're going to give and give and give and not put up any boundaries or not put any qualifying things there, they will just suck you dry. A narcissist who is full of themselves will call you when they want something from you, promise you things, have you feel hopeful, like things are going to go really great, and then not show up and not deliver. But they'll show back up when they want something from you. And pretty soon you're whipped and you're tired. Then they can turn around and blame you and focus on you when you're not 100% or you're not doing what they want you to do. Narcissists and people who have that kind of challenge are drawn to empaths, because empaths have a lot of connection and a lot of care and are very compassionate. And it's the perfect setup. So if you have toxic people in your life, or people that no matter what you do or don't do, they're complaining or they want you to be different, or they're talking to you about something wonderful or good, and then the conversation turns to what's wrong with you and what you've done wrong. Usually they're very slick and it just kind of feeds in. And then pretty soon, if you're not careful, you're walking around doubting yourself. You have more distress because you're taking on the energy and the assignment of what you're doing or not doing from someone else. The truth is, only you can make those decisions about you. What somebody says about you may or may not be true, and it may or may not be for you. Because one of the things I've learned, and you may have heard this, is you spot it, you got it, right? Well, I always look at it this way, that everybody's telling on themselves. So whatever somebody says about you to you, they're also saying about themselves, or it wouldn't be bothering them, or they wouldn't be pointing it out. So whatever somebody says is about them. So if somebody is saying something to you, you got to remind yourself, this is about you. This is not about me. Now, you may have a part in a situation or you have responsibilities. I'm not saying that you're not responsible. I'm saying that the way somebody says it or what they say is about them. So toxic relationships and toxic people who are angry all the time, or who are playing the martyr all the time, so they're taking your energy that way, or they play the victim, or they're fearful, and they know how to say just the right thing to get you to respond to them. Those kinds of situations are toxic. Those kinds of situations will take an empath and make you feel exhausted and tired and unable to think and feeling like you can't live up to your own expectations, and then pretty soon doubt comes in, when really the issue didn't start with you. It started with the other person. The other thing you need to do, besides eliminating the toxic people and really paying attention to where your energy is going so it doesn't drain, is to set really clear limits and really clear boundaries. Your yes means yes, and your no means no. Yes means yes, No means no. So often, if I decline something or tell somebody no to something and they keep pushing, that is what I will say. My yes means yes. My no means no. It took me so many years to not give in to the manipulation or the begging or the pleading or all of the stuff. And then pretty soon I'm tired and I'm resentful and I'm paying the price. And people are thinking, well, Diane's crazy or Diane's this. Well, really not the case. I was acting out those years ago, the other person's fear and upset. So I've learned the hard way that my yes means yes, my no means no. So I think about everything and I meditate on everything before I make a decision, unless it's an easy one, like what time is it for lunch or something. But if somebody asking me to do something or want something from me or wants to engage with me somehow, I always, always check in meditation before I get back. And if they can't understand that or they're not okay with me taking that pause to make a decision, then it's probably not the right decision for me to say yes to anyway, because I know myself and I know my sensitivities, just like you know yourself, you know your sensitivities. So it's important to have clear limits and clear boundaries. When I'm tired for the day or I'm done for the day, I tell people, no more thinking, no more talking. I plan my clients at the time of day when I'm most alert and aware, and I plan my creative and my writing time and my podcasting time at the time that I'm more engaged in that way. Because over the years, I've learned about myself when I do better in different things, and I give myself permission to honor that schedule, having clear limits, because that's what works best for my empathic self. That's how my intuition can work best to serve myself and my clients and all the work I do. And it's most important because that's respecting myself. It's part of taking care of ourselves, right? That we pay attention to what our limits are. We pay attention to what our boundaries are. We pay attention to ourselves. Another thing that you can do if you have empath distress disorder is to be kind to yourself. Now, this one took me a long time to do, and sometimes I'm not real great at it, to be honest with you. But I have to be kind to myself. Like, be nice, right? That just be nice bumper sticker from years ago. Learn how to have some kindness for yourself. You know, I think it was the Dalai Lama who said his religion is kindness, right? Or love. So be kind. You're doing great. You're listening to this podcast. You're making great changes in your life. You're growing, you're evolving, you're moving forward. Even if we don't even feel like we're moving forward, we are, because the world is always, the universe is always expanding. Always, always, always. Even when we don't feel it or can't see it, that doesn't mean it's not happening. And so you're doing great. Remind yourself of that. You know, when the podcast is over, go look yourself in the mirror, get eye contact and say, you're great, man. You know, look right at yourself, eye contact, and say, I love you. Thanks for being there for me. Because the truth is, you are the single person who will always be there for you your whole life. You are. All of us here that are supporting you and care about you, we're extras. But you are the star of your own play, right? You're the one who's there for you. So it's time for you to be really nice to you. That means say kind words in your head. Thank yourself for doing the right thing and being alive and being focused on your well-being. Thank yourself for all your uniqueness and your sensitivity. Thank yourself for having that really intense, gut-wrenching calling to do something amazing with your life, even when sometimes you don't know what to do. Thank yourself for your smile, for the ability to feel your feelings no matter what they are, joy or sadness. And thank yourself for just being you, because you're amazing. And the other thing, another thing you can do for your empath distress disorder is to work with yourself on being more optimistic and more positive. We live in a world that is changing all the time. And some days it can get you down. I'm recording this after hearing all kinds of news flashes today that aren't happy. But I also saw some good news, right? So I don't watch the news. I see clips on on the internet and then decide what I'm going to watch. So I don't sit there and allow myself to be fed information that I haven't checked on myself. So you won't see a TV around me for that reason. And it's important to stay positive. Even when you have a lot of changes going on, even when maybe things are stressful or maybe things are happening that create sadness for you, it's still important to stay positive. You know, recently I had a close friend of mine pass away and have another friend who's moving away and I have changes going on in my life and there's all kinds of things going on around all of us. You could give me a list of them too that are happening for you, right? So we have a choice. We have a choice every minute of every day of how we are going to respond. Are we going to do the poor me or the I'm afraid or the angry? Or are we going to say, let me be curious about how I can do this. Let's look at all the options. Let's be positive about them, right? It changes everything. You sit up straight, your shoulders go back, you put a smile on your face, and you approach life with the beauty and the kindness toward yourself and the positivity you deserve. It's hard to do sometimes when you're an empath, especially if you're around people taking on a lot of energy that's heavy or depressing or angry or upset or fearful. It's really hard. That's why step one was get away from the toxic people. I meant that when I said that. That's also why I said clear boundaries. It's a lot of the work that I do with a lot of people that I work with because I've already lived it myself and I still live it, having to keep the boundaries up. But I had to figure it out with all my education and all my degrees and all my experience. I still had to do my own work and my own development to be able to personally show someone else the way. In fact, just yesterday, somebody said to me that it's like we're walking on this dark trail and I'm the one that has a flashlight. So she's holding my hand so that I can take her down the trail. And in a lot of ways, that's true because I have to do it too because I'm an empath too. So empath distress disorder can happen to any of us. If we get too overtired or too overwhelmed, right? Or distracted from our own self-care and our own taking care of ourselves. Any of those things can happen. So it's so important. That's why this episode is dedicated to helping and reminding all of us who are empaths that there is a solution. We don't have to be in distress. We don't have to be exhausted and tired and feeling, that wicked core tiredness. It doesn't have to happen. We have options. We can do things to stay positive and take care of ourselves. We can set boundaries. You know, the first time I said no to somebody, because I was always saying yes when I was younger. I mean, we're talking, I was a teenager, I think, maybe 18 or 19. First time I said no to one of my friends who I was always saying yes to, because I started realizing that their energy had a lot of anger and fear in it. And I never really identified it as theirs and mine. I was just learning how to deal with my empath self. And the first time I said no, the look on their face, I still can remember it, was like shock. Their jaw dropped, like, what? What? You said no to me? And I said, yes. I said, no, I'm not interested. And it was just simply I wasn't interested in going to a movie they wanted to go to. It wasn't like a big thing. But because I always said yes, because I never learned the boundaries. They weren't taught to me by the adults around me. I wasn't given or understood back then that I had permission, that I could say no, that if I didn't want to go somewhere with a friend, I didn't have to. All of those things are challenges that empath people have that I've had to grow through over the years. I mean, I learned that lesson like when I was a teenager still, but it still was a big lesson as a teenager, right? And I still have people that I run into me that I still see that are doing that very thing. They're not able to set clear limits. And so learning how to do that, however you learn how to do it, is so important. Your body pays a very big price when you allow it to get tired or overwhelmed, or when you're not caring for it because you're too busy absorbing the energy of other people and not learning how to discharge it. I've had many friends over the years end up with all kinds of illnesses because they take on the energy from others and they think that's noble because the other people feel good. But the thing there didn't do properly was discharge the energy. In other words, not hold onto it. So if you go around somebody and maybe they're depressed and you weren't depressed when you were around them, right? And then you leave and now you're depressed. You've taken on all that energy. That needs to keep moving through you. Otherwise, pretty soon your body is going to respond like it's yours when it wasn't yours to start with. So you have to learn how to keep it going through you. You have to learn how to allow that to keep going. Otherwise, it'll get in you and it'll stay there, and pretty soon you'll be depressed. It didn't start with you. It started with the other person or people. It's also important with your calling and your legacy. I call it your heart's desire. I've had several people say, you know, I have that gut-wrenching kind of calling in me, and there's something I'm supposed to do. There's a legacy I'm supposed to live. I'm supposed to do something more with my life, but I don't know what it is. And so they get afraid, or they back up, or they get confused. And because they can feel what everybody else is feeling, if the people around them feel fear, or the people around them feel it, have agendas, they will often think that that fear is theirs, and it's not. It's the other people's. It takes great discernment to begin to see and be able to continuously see whether whose is whose. What's, I always say, whose side of the street is it on, right? If it's my emotion generated through me, then I deal with it differently than if I'm feeling it and it's yours. So strong, empathic people really have to pay attention to these things, because otherwise you're ending up responding almost like an energy slave to the people around you because of their fear. The closer the people are to you, the more fear they have if you're going to change. For example, if you have a calling and you know that you're supposed to be helping people in a different way than you already are, or maybe changing how your career looks or changing where you live, and you start telling the people close to you, the people who are closest emotionally could, they don't always do this, but they could have fear, like they don't want you to fail, they're not sure it's going to work, like their own fears, right? And pretty soon you're picking up on that fear. And that could get in your way of making a good decision. It's not your fear, it's their fear. They get afraid because things are going to change for them if you change. Or they don't want their comfort level to be changed. Or they say they're afraid that, you know, if you mess up, you're not going to feel good, or you're not going to like it, or what if it's not successful? So the last time somebody said to me, well, what are you doing? Maybe it's not going to be successful. I look right at them and say, well, what if it is successful? Be positive, right? But be aware that the well-meaning people who love you and are around you, the closer they are to you, they may not need to know your plan right away. You might need to tell them the plan a little later after you've gotten support and confirmation from people who care about you but aren't emotionally tied to the outcome. That's where I come in a lot as a mentor, where I care about my people I work with, and I'm not going to put my agenda on their outcome. So I'm that safe person for some of my people because they have a lot of family that love them, and sometimes that love distorts the energy, it distorts the feedback, it distorts the relationship, and it gets in the way. And often people don't realize it. Sometimes they do, but mostly they don't. So sometimes you need to have people in your life that do not have an emotional agenda for the outcome, which is very hard if they're family members. Like, I would have an emotional outcome if it was any of my family members. I would not be the first person that be the healthiest for them to come to with something, because if I started getting afraid of the outcome, I might say something or try to get them to see it my way out of my own fear, which is wrong. Everybody has free will and dominion. We should be willing to make and able to make our own decisions. So think about that for a minute. If you have something really important, a legacy you want to leave, or a heart's desire you have, or a calling that just keeps coming up, it's like gut-wrenching and you don't know what to do. It keeps coming up again and again. Because what I know about your calling is it won't go away. It'll keep coming back in different ways until you answer it. So what are you going to do? Who are you going to trust? Keeping it close to your chest is one thing, but keeping it secret won't work either. It'll just keep keeping you up at night. Could even give you indigestion. and you don't want that. So be willing to really think about who you want to talk to and how you want it to go, and follow that gut. Follow that part of you that sees the bigger picture. Give your inner self permission to show up and emerge into the world, because that's what you're here for anyway, right? Bringing your gift forward. Like I always say at the end of the podcast, that the world needs your gift. I mean that. So let's go for it. So I wanted to talk to you about empath distress disorder, because I made up the term, I'm coining the term, so that you will have something to talk about if you're really feeling distressed. If you're not sleeping well, and maybe your body temperature is off, or you're having difficulty, or you're finding yourself short-tempered, and you're not feeling like yourself, you're not feeling right, it could be that you're feeling some inner distress because you're taking on the feelings and the energy and the emotions of another person or people or situation, in which case it's time to learn some skills so you don't do it or get yourself in a different place. It's not healthy for you to take on things from others and pay the price. They can pay their own price, right? So anyway, I don't want to be a downer in this episode because I'm really excited that you're listening. But also I want you to feel happy and joyful and hopeful. You know, that's why I wrote Hope Realize. That's why I've written all the books I've written, so that everybody can be inspired in whatever way serves all of us. So hopefully this episode about empath distress disorder and the tips necessary to help you not be in the middle of the issue can help you rise above it and be positive. As always, you can email me if you have any questions or comments. You can go to someonegetsme.com, which is the website that goes with this podcast with all the episodes on it. You can search whatever you want. That will be fun. Or you can contact me through msdianeallen.com, whichever. I'm at both of them. So you can find me, and I'm happy to help you, or I'm happy to answer any questions. But most importantly, be kind to yourself and remember that you are amazing. Remind yourself every night. Say, I love you. Thanks for being there for me today. I'm going to go do that when I go to bed later tonight. I'm going to remind myself, right? So I hope this has been helpful, and I hope that you're inspired to keep being the amazing person that you are. Always know that there's somebody in your corner, especially me. Yeah, I don't have to know you to be in your corner. Every day I send blessings and high vibration thoughts to all the people who are associated with my business, with my life, with all of the world, because I know, like Einstein said, everything is connected to everything. So we're all connected, even if we don't know each other. So I hope you have a great day, and remember, keep your face to the sun so the shadows fall behind you. You are a rock star. It's time to let your gift shine, because remember, the world really needs you to bring your gift. So go do it with a positive attitude, a smile on your face, and remember, be well. Until the next episode, call me if you need me.
Thanks for tuning in to Someone Gets Me. To find out more, please visit Diane's website at MissDianeAllen.com. That's MissDianeAllen.com. Be sure to take a second and subscribe to the show and share with anyone that you think may benefit. Until next time, remember, the world needs your special gift. So let your light shine.